Coming up on Before You Buy, we've got Droids, the Razer HD, the Razer Max HD, a laptop you gotta see to believe, and a whole lot more.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio, plus more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY11. Welcome to Before You Buy. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, filling in for Leo Laporte, who's in a special mission somewhere, I think on the other side of the world or something. He'll be back next week. This is Before You Buy. This is Twit's product review show. We take some fun products, we give the Twit staff, they try it out, and they let us know how great or not so great some of these products are. Today, we've got Russell here. He's got the Razer...
Hello. I've got the Droid Razer Max HD. Droid Razer Max HD.
Great name. And then we've got Jason Howell here with the Droid Razer.
It may look a lot like the Razer Max, but it's actually a little thinner. Well, since, a little more anorexic.
Since you don't have the Max, we're going to talk to Russell first and see what should we know about the Droid Razer Max HD, and that's really the name.
Yes, it's absolutely the name. So this is the Droid Razer Max HD, and it's one of Motorola's flagship phones. This is a phone that was still actually made by Motorola. So Google has kind of taken over Motorola Mobility, but this phone was still in the pipeline when it was all designed by Motorola. So this is probably going to be the last of the actual, you know, Motorola phones. It's a 1.5 gigahertz dual core, and it ships with Ice Cream Sandwich, which is the 4.0 version of Android. The 4.1 version is supposed to be coming very soon, maybe any day now. But this is a Verizon phone, so you've got a 4.7-inch Super AMOLED screen. It's global-ready on Verizon, which is great, because Verizon's always had difficulties with global phones, but now that LTE's out, you know, most of the LTE phones are global-ready. So now you can take this phone overseas, pop in another SIM card. Comes SIM unlocked, so that's nice. So you can travel and do that. You've got your Bluetooth 4.0, dual-band wireless, 8-megapixel camera. But the real key with the Droid Razer Max HD is that it's got an extended battery basically built inside. So you've got 3,300 milliamps, which Motorola says will give you up to 32-something hours, which is really incredible. It's one of the longest batteries, or if not the longest battery, that you're going to get in a smartphone. And the great thing about that is that I've been a power user. I've had smartphones for 10 years. I've always had to buy the extra extended battery. So this phone basically has it built in, and you don't have to use like a funny bulgy case in the back or go to some aftermarket company and get their horrible plastic that doesn't match your phone to be able to use the phone. So this can get you through the whole day as a power user, maybe 2 days. I've always had issues with getting through the day on my smartphone, so this has basically been really amazing. Makes, good sound quality. The Motorola hardware is great. Everything really about it. It's fast. It's got one flaw. It's actually sort of a major flaw, and the flaw is that the camera is absolutely horrendous. So, you really want, everybody expects now to have a smartphone where, like, the camera is good. You can take pictures, you can post them online. This camera's sort of all over the place. Like, the exposure changes randomly. You tell it to take a picture. It doesn't take the picture immediately. And it just sort of is really laggy and hard to get a good shot with it. So it's great, but if you actually want it to be a camera, it's really not great as a camera. So it still uses, micro USB, micro HDMI. It's they're premium phones, so it really should have everything. It's got 32 gigs internal storage and a micro SD slot or micro SDHC. So everything about this phone I was really happy with, except for the camera. And I've actually used this for quite a long time because I actually have my phone that I bought a couple weeks ago is also the Droid Razr Max HD. So this is the phone that we've been testing. This is my phone. And, you know, I've had a, you know, I've actually used it for quite a while, and everything except the camera has been great on it. So, yeah, I mean, the pros are that, you know, it's $299 at Verizon, so, you know, that's with a two-year contract. That is a premium price. So, you know, I expect a lot for that, and you get a lot excepting the camera. You know, I have already put on the Jelly Bean. There was a leaked Jelly Bean. So I've loaded that on my phone. In the current status, they didn't make the camera any better. I replaced the camera app with the Galaxy Nexus camera app. That makes it a little better, but you know, that means it's quick to take a picture that is probably out of focus and probably got the wrong exposure. So the pros are it's got great build quality, got a long battery life, it's fast and responsive, but the cons are that the camera is really a deal breaker. And it's not the current Android OS. You also get your regular suite of Verizon bloatware, which, you know, is still sort of depressing that, you know, we're still at that point where Verizon feels that it's necessary to, you know, load it with VZ Navigator and VZ App Store and VZ this and VZ that. And while it doesn't really slow down the phone and you can disable those things, it's just annoying. To have to do that when you get your new phone.
So as it is, before you do all you what you did to your phone, which was rooting it, putting your own version of Android on there, out of the box, try, buy, don't buy, what do you think?
So out of the box, I'm going to give it a try. I think, you know, if you're looking for a premium Android phone, if you're looking for extremely long battery life, those and global ready on Verizon, I mean, I kind of looked at everything on Verizon's site and went, okay, well, you know, Motorola's touch or their kind of Moto Blur interface has really been kind of almost completely stripped out of this phone. It's very minimal. You still get their, you know, home screen and things like that. But, you know, it's still just a try. You know, you should go check it out. If, you know, you're struggling making it through the day with every single feature turned on your phone, it's worth considering. If you don't care about the camera in the phone, it's worth considering. Everything else is very solid, but you know, I also purchased a Galaxy S3, and the Galaxy S3 is, you know, not as long battery life, but you know, it checks those other marks. It has a good camera, and it doesn't come with as much, you know, kind of bloatware, and it's going to have more options for ROMs and rooting and bootloader unlocks, and you know, it'll be a better power user phone in most cases. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with it, but if they come out with a new phone that has a 3,000-something milliamp hour battery and a good camera, I will buy that phone the day it comes out. So that's why I'm giving it a try.
Can I borrow your Max there so I can compare it to...
There's a Max.
Okay, so this is the Max. So, and Jason, you have the actual... The Droid Razr.
The Razr HD, which is, by all accounts, I mean, it's identical to the Max. Minus two things for the most part. 16 gigs of internal storage versus 32. And then, of course, the extended battery. The Razr HD has 2,500 milliamp hour battery. And you can kind of see a very minor difference here.
I can barely see the difference on this.
Yeah, I mean, you see a little bit of a narrowing down here and then a widening up of the camera. This is on the Razr HD. And then on the Max, they basically just make it completely straight. I mean, the difference is so subtle.
Well, you're right. Here. This one is an absolute pig, a beast compared to the other one.
It's ridiculous. One thing I really appreciate about this new line of Razr devices compared to the last one is Motorola is finally doing getting rid of something, for the most part at least, of something design-wise that I've hated about the previous devices, which is the huge chin up by the camera. You really don't get that. Even on the Razr HD that has it, I mean, you know, just barely. I mean, it's hard, it's so slightly there that you can hardly even notice it. So it really does feel even more premium in that regard. It doesn't have this weird thing protruding out of it, you know, that's there for the camera that's built inside the phone. But honestly, Russell, you did a great job talking about this device as well, whether you intended to or not, because they are so similar. I felt the same way. I think the thing that I really appreciate about some of the, you know, some my time spent with this Motorola device is just kind of the industrial design. They've stepped it up. It feels premium. It's a nice feeling phone. And actually, the HD version is $100 less than the Droid Razr Max with a 2,500 milliamp hour battery, which is really good.
It's better than a lot of the
totally. And actually, I was using this solid, you know, for a few days, and I charged it up fully, unplugged it one morning. Didn't have to plug it in until midway through the next day. And that was using it about as regular as I use a phone. On top of that, I also went to the city. I went to San Francisco, spent most of my day there, never took it off of 4G. And, I mean, it performed, as good as I would expect any of these devices.
The 4G radio is fast in it. It's, you know, 20-something megabit. Sound quality is great. Speakerphone is extremely loud, almost too loud. You have to, like, turn down the speaker on it, you know, if you're playing music on it.
Yeah, I really like it. I completely agree, though, with the camera. The camera, you almost feel like when it comes to the camera, they kind of stopped. They stopped improving the camera somewhere around, like, the original Droid. You know, it's kind of...
It feels like you still have an original Droid.
Yeah, it's really weird that the camera has just continued to be horrible. But, I mean, you never knew what you were going to get. It was very inconsistent. You'd frame a shot, and you'd take a picture, and the very next picture... I mean,
inconsistent.
Of course, it's not doing it now. We're in a well-lit area. But
that.
It would completely throw white balance out of whack for no apparent reason. It would throw your iris out of whack and suddenly get really bright or really dark. It was just schizophrenic, really.
This is regardless of any camera app you use. I mean, it's always that bad no matter what.
I was only using the built-in camera app. But I think this has just been a pretty consistent complaint with most of Motorola's cameras. They're pretty known for not having very good quality cameras.
Yeah. As far as I remember, it's not a backlit sensor. It's still like a... you know, cheap 8-megapixel sensor. And I tried, you know, because I have the phone and I want my phone to actually take good pictures or a picture that I can post on Facebook and have people go, oh, like, that looks horrible. Like, what phone is that? You know, so I played with, you know, like Camera Plus or 360, you know, a bunch of different little camera apps. And I actually found that the Galaxy Nexus's camera app, which you have to be root, you have to change your build prop, you can use that camera and it works really pretty well, but you still have the problems.
Weird,
and then even when it's great, like even when it gets everything right, it still doesn't look that great. You know, I was at Yosemite and I had this beautiful vista, and I took a picture of the phone, posted it on Facebook. It looked okay on the screen, but you looked at it later and it looks just terrible. It's all mushy and there's no details in anything. And
you take those pictures on a big monitor and you know, really blow them up to kind of see what the true quality of that camera is. And I don't know, just on the Droid line and this one in particular, very grainy when you start to blow it up, and it just doesn't look very good.
But they are going in the right direction. I mean,
I hope that they continue to improve, because I think what you were saying as far as, like, when you build or when you buy a premium device, you hope for the best. You hope that all of the boxes are checked. Rarely are they. In this case, it really hit most of them, but the camera's a pretty big fault. And if pictures are important to you, that's a big detractor. But, you know, most of the people that are getting the Razr line, and particularly the Max, their biggest reason for getting it is the battery. And as far as that's concerned, you're hard pressed to find any device that performs better than this one.
With the price differential, the Max, the Razr HD, is it more palatable to have some of these functions not working so great? Because it's not.
This is $200, but $200 is still a pretty premium price. I mean, and think about it, you know, just a year ago, $200 was the premium price, and it was only recently that they started jacking up the price to $300. $200 is expensive for a device, no matter how you slice it. I think you hope at that point that everything's kind of checking those marks. But, you know, as far as my opinion on the HD, didn't get a chance to play with the Max, I would also say try it. I think in comparison with the Max, if you're already open to spending $200, it might make sense to just drop the extra $100 if you can, get that extra battery, that extra distance that you get with the battery, the extra onboard storage. I think it's worth it.
The battery's not replaceable. So
exactly.
It is built in, and, you know, when you get the built-in battery, you're stuck with it. It runs dead, and you've got to charge it. So
But design-wise, I really like the design of this phone. I liked it on the old model, and I like it even more with this. This Kevlar backing just has a nice feel to it and very slippery.
The buttons are easy to find. The power button is ribbed slightly differently than the volume up and down.
It doesn't feel plasticky.
You can feel for it in the dark, and everything feels very solid. So.
Yep.
Both the Droid Razr HD and the Razr Max HD are tries, in your guys' opinion. Pretty much the same phone, slightly larger battery. Camera's absolutely awful. Good to know.
There you go.
If you don't like pictures, might be the way to go. Before we try out and test out some other devices, let's thank Squarespace. This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by Squarespace.com. It's faster and easier than ever to create a high-quality website or blog. You know, Tom Merritt uses Squarespace for lots of his stuff. You know, he does all of this writing. He writes books. He's doing shows. And I'm like, how do you have so much time to make your websites look great? He's like, I use Squarespace. And I'm like, what's Squarespace? And I got to try it out. It's super easy. And now things have changed a lot at Squarespace with Squarespace 6. These days, we're talking about phones and tablets and everything. Your web page needs to look good on every single device. And Squarespace can set that up for you. And you don't have to even think about it. They'll dynamically create the page right there on your device. It's really easy. So you don't have to spend time working on how is this going to look on the tablet? How's it going to look on the phone? Squarespace has you covered. And they're using the latest web technologies. This isn't some weird, like, proprietary thing. They're using HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, and JSON for speed and flexibility. So it's incredibly easy to use. Drag and drop functionality. All kinds of customization tools. So you can have your site look different than everybody else's. But they got tons of great, great templates if you just want to just have a turnkey solution. You can just import your blog if you want to. There's also exportability. So if you want to leave Squarespace, they don't lock you in. Lots and lots of features built into Squarespace. Just way too much to talk about in this quick mention of them. For a free trial, try it out at squarespace.com. You can sign up. You don't need to even put in a credit card. You can start building a website. And if you decide to purchase it, use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY11 and get 10% off your first purchase on new Squarespace accounts that includes monthly and annual plans. And if you get an annual plan subscription, you'll get a free domain registration. That's yours. Go to squarespace.com and use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY11. Let's go wander off to the TNT set, the newsroom, because there's more cool tech to try out. I'm going to wander. Excuse me. Gonna just run into cameras and things. So this is a working studio, and this is my desk, and this is full of mess. And hey, look, we have people here.
Whoa!
Who are you, folks? We've got Shannon.
Hi.
And we've got Josh.
Hello.
Yeah, you seem to be the producer of the show. Is that true?
I think so. Right. I don't know. I was bossing people around earlier, so I guess that's what I do here.
I think my chair's all too wacky today, but that's okay. Josh, you're here. You've got. You know, I saw this in the rundown. I thought it was a typo. The Touch Fire. This is a
Touch Fire.
What could you tell me what this is?
So this is a keyboard that actually goes on top of the iPad virtual keyboard.
Can I see this?
So yeah, you can see it.
This is a keyboard.
You know, the thing that bothers me. First thing I have to say, though, I didn't get to say this. It smells funny. I don't like the smell of it. It smells like trying to figure out if it's like. It's like perfume and cough syrup fused together or something.
Is this something you normally do? You smell your keyboard?
I always smell my products before I use them. True story. All my electronics, I smell them first.
I mean, I smell books, but never
keyboards.
No.
Brand new electronic smell, amazing.
This is the Touch Fire.
Seriously.
Now, you did a full review. We should
I did.
Give it a look.
So you can check it out first.
Hey, I'm Josh Windisch for Before You Buy, and today I'll be reviewing the Touch Fire keyboard for the iPad. And no, you don't have to worry. You can touch it all you want. It's not actually on fire, which is really a pro to using this product, I think. Although, interestingly enough, they actually do, in the instructions, say that you should wash it underwater before using it. I'm not kidding. By the way, the whole joke about it being on fire, that wasn't me. That was actually Alex Gumpel. So you can thank him for that stellar joke. No, so the reason that they have you wash it underwater before using it is because it's not a mechanical keyboard. This is actually just a thin layer of rubbery plastic that's designed to go over top of the iPad screen to give the virtual keyboard some tactile feedback when using it. And when you first open it up, it's a little bit sticky. So washing it gets rid of some of that stickiness and makes it a little bit nicer to use. It actually comes in a nice travel case right here, so you can carry it around if you want with some basic instructions in here. But it's relatively straightforward. There's a magnet on the bottom of the keyboard here, and that actually magnetically attaches to the iPad screen. So it clicks on. You do have to work with it a little bit to get it lined up perfectly with the keys, but once you do, I'd actually recommend you turn the iPad off and then use your fingers to press on the area where the space bar is, because then the keyboard will be stuck down and won't move around while you're using it, which is much better. It actually comes with a couple more magnets, too, and these apply to the inside of the smart cover. And this is so that way you can actually close the smart cover on top of the keyboard like this, which, by the way, I think this is a much better way to carry around the TouchFire keyboard than using this, but it's nice to have the options. But you can close it on top of it, and if you don't want to use the keyboard, you can actually pull the keyboard up with the smart cover, and it will just adhere right to the back of the smart cover, which is kind of nice. And then, of course, if you want it back on there, you can just pull up the smart cover, and it's mostly there. You have to reapply it, but you get the idea. So I know what you're thinking. Why would you want to put this layer of plastic on your iPad screen when the keyboard isn't displayed 100% of the time? If you want to use something that, requires the full screen, the keyboard goes away. What do you do then? They've actually thought of that. All you do is you fold it back, and it folds right out of the way. You can use the whole screen. And then when the keyboard comes back, you just unfold it, and there you go. It's covering the keyboard again. So when it comes to actually using the TouchFire keyboard, that's where, I don't know, I have a little bit of difficulty. I'm sure your mileage will vary depending on what kind of a typer you are, but as far as it goes for me, it gives me reference as to where my fingers are in the keys before I start typing. So when you rest your hand on the keyboard, you know that your fingers are on the home row, for example. That it does do, but when I start actually typing, it gets a little bit difficult to tell the separation between the keys. And eventually, for me anyway, it just feels like there's this layer of plastic mush between my fingers and the actual keys, which doesn't, it doesn't feel so great to use in my experience. And on to the pros and cons. First, the pros. It comes with a carrying case and can fold right up into the smart cover, which is definitely a convenient way to carry it around. It retracts easily for full screen use when the keyboard isn't being displayed. It attaches magnetically, which means it's easy to remove, and it can be washed off with water, which is a good thing because this thing will get dirty. The cons? Takes some work to get it lined up straight. Not a huge deal, but if you're in a hurry and just want to put this thing on, it might take you a little bit of time to get it stuck on there correctly. It's a flimsy, rubbery material that I think can make typing actually kind of clumsy. Not enough tactile feedback when you're typing either. It's kind of hard to feel the separation between the keys when you're typing away. And I think it's overpriced. It cost $50. So buy, try, or don't buy on the TouchFire keyboard for the iPad. I'm going to have to give this a don't buy. Only because at $50, I think you're better off just putting that money toward a real keyboard to use with the iPad. So that's my review of the TouchFire keyboard. I'm Josh Windisch for Before You Buy.
$50, it's basically a little plastic skin, and they're calling that a keyboard? I mean, did it at least come with this little nifty case that says TouchFire?
Yeah, came with that. It comes with this case, so that's good, I suppose. You could just, if you want to get the effect of this, you could just use like a Ziploc bag and some Saran wrap and just kind of put it on top of the keyboard.
It couldn't be that bad.
And I should say, I was a little bit unfair, like maybe a little bit, because it did improve my accuracy typing a slight bit, but it wasn't worth it enough for the horrible feel that you get when you use it.
It definitely has a niche if you don't want to have to carry around the larger, like the Logitech ones that are apparently really great keyboards, but yeah, they're much larger. This is very, very light, but $50. I'm a cheap man, I gotta say. I can't. I'm not spending $50 on this.
And you don't get the benefit of having the full screen when you use a real keyboard. The virtual keyboard isn't there, so you can use the full screen for what you want. Instead, you have to have the virtual keyboard up and use this. Yeah, just, I don't know.
Okay, well, that's the TouchFire, and that's a don't buy.
That's a don't buy,
yeah,
for sure.
That's a good idea. Now you should be running off to edit.
Oh yeah,
right?
I have
use
to
a real
edit.
Keyboard or
I have to edit a show. So,
bye, Josh.
Bye.
Thank you, Josh.
Awkward, but see ya.
Well, it's a good thing we got you here, Shannon.
Hi.
You've got, what do you got there? The AT&T
Pantech. AT&T Pantech Flex. Yeah. So I did a full review of this one, too. The full review is actually on youtube.com/twit. But, yeah, it's a phone that's made for an easy experience.
It's a phone. Okay, let's find out what you thought about the Pantech Flex.
Hey guys, and Ayaz, thank you for hosting this week's episode of Before You Buy. I'm Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, and this week I have the AT&T Pantech Flex, which is exclusively for AT&T. This little 4G LTE smartphone is running on Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich, and the interesting thing about it is that it features this thing called Easy Experience. So it kind of has two different software applications instead of just one Android user experience. You have two. Kind of interesting that you can switch back and forth between them. I'll show you more about that in just a moment. So let's go over some of the details of this little guy. It's $49.99 with a two-year contract on AT&T, so it's really, really cheap, and you get pretty decent specs with it. It's only 4.6 ounces, so it's very lightweight, and it's kind of big. It's pretty large in your hand, but it's not uncomfortable. So I can sit here and play with it just fine with just one swipe of my finger. Very nice. It also has a 4.3-inch Super AMOLED display. It's 1.5 gigahertz with a dual-core Snapdragon, so it's pretty decently fast. And it has Bluetooth 4.0 built in. I've never played with Bluetooth 4.0, so I'm pretty happy about that fact. It also has SwiftKey keyboard, and it also has the swipe keyboard. So you have your option of two of them, depending on what your specific needs are. The cameras. Has an 8-megapixel camera on the rear, back here, and it also can do 1080p HD video, which is really nice, but we'll get more into that in just a moment. And it also has a 2-megapixel front camera in case you want to take photos of you and put them on the new MySpace. It has 8 gigabytes of onboard storage, which is really nice, and it also has a micro SD slot, so you can add in additional storage, say 32 gigs of additional storage, which would be really sweet. And it also has an 1830 milliamp per hour battery. So it's pretty decent sized battery. It can run about 3 days if you don't use it at all, and about 10 to 12 hours if you do use it pretty constantly and heavily. I noticed when I was playing with this that the back cover feels kind of cheap, but it's really easy to put on and off. First off, we have the speaker over here. Now, there's just a little slot in the back cover for the speaker. I thought that was kind of weird when I was playing with it. You could tell that it was somewhat muffled. I didn't really like that much. It also has a slot for your extra 32 gig little SD card and your micro SIM. And then, of course, the battery. When you pop it back on, super easy to do. You just line it up and snap it on. I do like what it looks like. It has this nice backing to it with the gray slate color, and it feels really nice to the fingers. It's kind of a rubbery feel. It's not shiny, and it doesn't really pick up a lot of grease or a lot of moisture from your hands, which is really nice. Now, the lock screen. This is kind of cool. I love that Pantech has this option where when you hit the lock screen, you have a lot of different choices that you can make. I'm in the easy access mode. I can just flip the switch to turn it on. It's kind of nice that it does that, and I can understand why they call it easy experience for this interface. On the normal Android interface on Pantech phones, you also have this circular interface on the lock screen where you can just drag and drop whatever thing that you want to use, or you can just unlock it. That's kind of cool, and I like that Pantech thought about that. It's really nice. Now let's talk about the camera a little bit. I noticed a few things about the camera that I did like and a few things that I didn't like. For example, when you go into the camera app in the easy experience mode, you can swipe over to see your menu and you can drag and drop different items to create little icons along the side of your actual camera while you're taking photos. So you have easy access to the flash, the exposure, what have you, and whatever you choose to add on to there. And also, whenever you take a photo, whether it's zoomed in or zoomed out, the photos still come out somewhat blurry, even if your person or the product or whatever you have in front of the lens is close up or if it's far away. I didn't like the quality of this camera. Even though it's 8 megapixels, I noticed a lot of things that I really wasn't happy about. Even with flash, it really wasn't that great. The 1080p video is okay. It's pretty decent. you don't see a lot of issues with it as far as the 1080p video goes, but I did notice it crashed on me a couple of times. It tried to restart the camera app on me. Now, the front-facing camera, it's 2 megapixels, takes decent shots if you have really, really good lighting, and this would be great for regular video calls or what have you, your MySpace shots, of course, but all together, it's still 2 megapixels, and we have so many options these days that I just can't constitute saying, yeah, it's a decent camera. Now, the phone itself. Unfortunately, we did not have a SIM card for AT&T that we could use with this phone when we got it in. So I was not able to test the actual phone. But from what I've read online and from what I've seen, it has pretty decent call quality. It's no different from any other phone that you can get these days. And the battery, last but not least. Now, I did say it could get 10 to 12 hours or so, and 3 days if you don't even use it at all. That's pretty good. 10 to 12 hours, that's pretty much the decent usage that you would get on very, very heavy use. Let's talk pros and cons of this little device. So the Pantech Flex, it's nice because of the price. It's $50. I mean, you can't get any better than $50 for a nice Android phone. The ease of use is wonderful. I love that we have a phone available that's made for people that may not be so used to the Android devices these days. And it's pretty fast whenever you're switching between the applications. I only had it crash on me once or twice when I'm assuming I was going too fast for it. And the cons, of course, the camera. I just can't get over the fact that it doesn't look that great, even though it's supposed to be 1080p and 8 megapixels. That's pretty good, so I was expecting a little bit more. All in all, I'm going to give the Pantech Flex for AT&T a try. I don't think it's perfect for somebody who is more experienced with an Android phone, but I do think it would make a great gift, especially for the holiday season, for somebody who is not as experienced. I hope you enjoyed it. Bye.
Like you said before, that's actually an abbreviated version of your review, available on youtube.com/twit for the full one.
Yes, exactly.
Now, it's got an easy mode, you said, so that is
it
there
does.
Two modes on this?
Yeah, so the easy mode is basically a really easy user experience Android skin, and then you can switch it very easily, too. I can show you that real quick. You just go into menu, and then you go down to your personalize, and you go to change experience, and you have your options Pantech easy experience or Pantech standard experience.
So this easy experience seems to be, I'd say, focused on a different user group. I believe if you go to the shortcuts thing, and there's some special apps available for the easy mode. Is that true?
Very special apps. So if you click in here, there's this thing called the pill reminder.
Pill reminder.
You can click on it and you can create your own little pill reminder.
So we have really large text. We have, you can't scroll through the home page.
Yeah, you can't scroll.
It seems like it's a little locked down, and there's a pill reminder shortcut, so it might be for the first-time older generation smartphone user.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I also noticed they recently dropped the price. I don't know if that's for just the holidays or maybe Black Friday or something like that, but it's $19.99 instead of the usual $49.99 with contract on AT&T. Well, so that's kind of cool.
That, and it's not locked down to that easy mode. If you wanted, though, there's that real Android in there. You can actually use the full-on experience that you're used to.
Yeah, and both of them have the same apps. You can still get to Google Play in each of them. You still have all the same downloaded apps as you do in the normal Android skin. So it's not like you're going to be completely locked out of all your favorite parts of Android. So if you just really want a cheap Android phone, it's a good choice.
$20, it's a try. And if you also don't want to forget about your pills, I guess it's a great idea. I'm sure that's another app to try out. But now we get to try out this laptop, or I get to talk about this Lenovo IdeaPad Yoga 13. I got to say, I've been using this for a week. If you've been watching Tech News Today, on this very table, it's been turned 90 degrees, and I've been using it as my work computer for 1 week. Now,
wow, skinny.
Looking at the hardware, it's incredibly thin. It's an Ultrabook, right? We've got a nice thin and light design. We've got this in the power supply. It looks like a USB, but it's not. That's power. That's new Lenovo style. We've got power. We've got a USB, an SD card slot. Up front, we have a power switch, which is strangely located, I'd say, right here. I'm usually used to it inside the notebook, not case here. On the side, we have, an HDMI port and a USB 3.0, a combined mic headphone jack. And that's pretty much it for ports. No Ethernet on this. It's an Ultrabook. They didn't bother to cram that in. The finish is kind of strange. It's kind of like a matte finish. It doesn't really show fingerprints too much. You can kind of see my greasy fingers there. But it's a really interesting tactile feel to that. Lenovo put a bunch of the stickers on the bottom, so you're not marring the surface.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that little feature. So we do have these three stickers, and when we open up the laptop, we've got a nice rubberized grip here, and there's a reason for that, because this is the Yoga, so it's got that crazy hinge. Let's see if I can show it. Okay, there we go. It can do all of that. So now I can really just type without seeing what I'm doing. So it's really good for that. No, obviously, it's a tablet. So we've got Windows 8 on this. Full-on Windows 8. Got Skype open there. And when you're in this mode, the keyboard itself is turned off. So when you place it down or you're holding it like this.
Oh, that's good.
The keyboard is turned off. That's automatically turned off. The trackpad is turned off when you're in this mode.
Does it weigh a lot?
It's 3.5 pounds.
That's so not bad.
I got to say, as a laptop, I find it to be very, very good as a flat-out laptop. When it comes to running Windows and you know doing the standard things you do with a laptop, going online, checking out giant 1080p videos and things like that. Battery life, about 5 hours on this, so not the best amount of battery life. But trackpad's really serviceable. I got to say, it's a good trackpad. One of the weird things, though...
Does it have the multi-touch things on it, too?
It does do scroll and things, but there's certain things. I can't tell if it's a Windows 8 bug or if it's a IdeaPad bug. If I'm trying to get the charms bar up, let me actually go to an app. Let's see if I can show this to... Which camera is this? This way? If I go to one of these apps, Internet Explorer or something, and I want to bring the charm bar up, I should be able to use the trackpad. And you can see it went into the actual start screen.
Oh.
The trackpad itself, I found a little buggy, but the screen itself, the screen, that works great, I think, as a touch screen. So it's definitely a interesting idea. I've got to say, it's an idea pad.
It looks beautiful. What's the size of the screen exactly?
It's a 13-inch screen.
13-inch,
it's a
okay.
1600
so it's not too big.
1600 by 900 display, so you could have crammed some more pixels in here. But I got day-to-day use. Now, I wanted to use this for comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love comic books. Did you grab a comic book from behind you? It's about the same size. Like,
yeah.
This
Ooh,
actually
yeah, Star Trek.
Fits inside, right? So we have the ability to have a one-to-one comic book feel on this. But that display is 1600 by 900. So I had some weird pixelation and jaggies when it came to the text. And I was like, oh, so close. So close.
Interesting.
Look at my comic books. Also, awkward to use as a tablet. When you have these back here, my hands couldn't find a good position.
There's no way that you can take them apart. They don't do that at all?
Nope. This is not a hybrid. You can't rip it apart. You can't twist this. That's another Lenovo product, the twist. Not an option here. But it's definitely an interesting design exercise. I'm not really sure if it should have been made as a laptop. If you like the gimmick and you like people going, hey, what's that? Might be cool. I know people love using it in this tent mode. I don't know why. Because I don't know if it's less of a footprint, I guess.
See, I would like to use it like that if I'm traveling on a airplane or something, because it would fit perfectly on that little table in front of you, and you can use it to watch videos. It would just stand upright.
That is one way to go. I've seen people use it this way, which I think is the strangest way. It doesn't change any of the footprint.
Well, it seems pretty sturdy. It's not going to fall over on you. It's not too heavy at the top.
There's that, and I got to say on the design flaw, when this piece, when the keyboard is down, there's not any raised pads here. So your trackpad can get gummed up, and so could the actual keyboard. So a little bit of a weird design idea there.
Are there any speakers or webcams on it?
Yes, there's, I believe, an HD cam on the front. There's nothing on the back, so it's not like a tablet that you'd have a... You're not going to be shooting this way. Like, I'm going to take a picture of Shannon with the phone. There's no camera there.
Doesn't quite work.
There's a camera on the front, and there are speakers, I believe, are built underneath the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you always can hear them unless you've done that.
How's the processing power?
Oh, it's one of the latest. I want to say Ivy Bridge. That's the latest one.
Nice. Yeah.
It can handle itself. Performance-wise, I got to say, for Ultrabooks, they're all the same at this point. This is the kind of gimmick you need to stand out. I don't know if it's a great gimmick. I got to say that. It's like, there we go. We got a little tent there. So on the pros, I got to give it to Lenovo for their daring design. This is gutsy. Very, very gutsy. It's thin and light. It's got a really solid keyboard. It's a Lenovo keyboard, so you know that's good. As a tablet, great viewing angles. I can turn it this way. You can keep reading everything on it. So they didn't skimp on the display when it comes to the tablet mode. On the cons, I got to say, it's really awkward to use as a tablet. I mean, if you want a different design for this, there are a lot of different options. So if you want an occasional tablet, this might not be the best one for you. some buggy performance that I can't tell either it was Windows 8 or it was the IdeaPad. The on-screen keyboard kept showing up randomly. My hands are nowhere near it. And it's in laptop mode.
It would
mode.
Just pop up.
Pop up. So
that's
I'm
weird.
Trying to, I don't know, read a news fuse or something. And then there's half the screen covered up by a big black keyboard. I don't know whose problem that is. I can't tell just yet. It's too early for that. And I did have trackpad issues when I'm using it for the Windows 8 specific drag from the edge, bring up the charms bar. But as a laptop, very good. I will say.
How much does it run?
It starts at, I believe, around $1,100.
Okay.
This one's kind of spec'd out, so it might be a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But on a try, buy, or don't buy, I mean, if you like gimmicky things, it's a try. Me, okay. Personally, I think that there are better options, better form factors. But if you like, I mean, if you want people to go, ooh and ah, this is definitely a try.
Awesome. Thank you.
Wow. And that's, well, now I can put this laptop away.
You know, I've actually been looking for an Ultrabook, so I might have to check this one out because, wow, it really is very lightweight.
It's thin, it's light. Another weird thing is that there's a little bit of flex to the screen. So when you open it up, if you start touching around that Windows key, like, you can flex the screen a little, which is kind of frightening.
Yep. I see that. I see it moving down here a little bit back and forth.
It's an unusual position to be doing that in. It's kind of an odd thing, but somebody noticed that, and I can't unnotice it at this point.
Yeah, interesting.
So we got full reviews. So you got Shannon's expanded review of the Flex. More reviews available at youtube.com/twit. We've also got, you guys, if you want to send us emails, you can. That's how we get some of our ideas. We're like, hey, what should we review? Give us an email at byb@twit.tv. And don't forget to send us your best of picks. We're coming towards the end of the year. We're like, okay, what's going to be what's the coolest things that have happened this year? You guys can help us pick because you can go to twit.tv/best of and tell us what was the best moment of Before You Buy, or actually a lot of the other shows too, because we're making clip shows for the holidays coming up. You can find many of our buy picks on our website at twit.tv/byb. You can find, if you really like, you want to find out how to get the Lenovo, we'll have that up. How to get the Flex, everything is available there at twit.tv/BYB. Next week, there will be a returning, conquering Leo Laporte.
A returning Leo Laporte.
He will be, who knows? So what kind of gadgets are we looking at next week, Shannon? Can we
give
a preview?
I don't know.
Do we have some really
some,
cool things?
Smartphones. I'm kind of guessing here.
Smartphones, tablets, you know, probably the latest and greatest, hottest.
Latest and greatest. So you definitely have to check it out.
Well, that wraps it up for us, and we'll see everybody next time.
On Before You Buy.
Oh, okay, I forgot the gimmick. You got to watch Before You Buy.
The gimmick, Before You Buy.
You should just stop me right now. You're like, wait.
Oh, hold up.
What's that?
I'm going to let you finish, but first.
You got to watch.
You got to watch Before You Buy.